Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're with us here today on a Thursday. Joining me, two people that actually know what they're talking about, Chris Williams and Dr. Sherry Keffer. Hi, guys.
Hey, it's great to be with you both.
Very good to be here.
Yep. You know, we're still in this crisis that we're in, and we're getting used to it a little bit. But the other day, there was a Pew survey, a poll that was done, and it had these results. It said, surprisingly, 75% of the people that they surveyed fear that the worst is yet to come. Another 66% felt like that the restrictions might be let loose too soon. And 61%, more than half, were more concerned about their health than the financial problem or the emotional things from isolation. And what a touch of reality there of how many people are really afraid, uncertain, in all of this. And, well, I'll tell you, don't beat yourself up if that's the case, because there are a lot of other people that feel the exact same way. But hold on to the Lord. You know, we've got great Bibles that can help you. Father's Day is coming up. Every man's Bible might be a Bible you'd want to give to your husband, or get it for yourself, guys. And then Kirby McCook, you know, he won that gold medal in young people's literature.
That was
a great way to
Steve.
Teach the Bible. And that truth is comforting to kids during this time. And so maybe also you've discovered a few things about yourself in the discomfort or the uncertainty that you're experiencing. And if that's the case, we want to help you. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'm going to the phones right now. I'm going to talk with Mr. John, calling from Seattle. KGNW is the station. John, how you doing, and what's going on in your life today?
Thank you. Well, my wife of 19 years asked for divorce last June after returning back to Idaho at the time where we were living due to visiting her mom after a stroke, and then she also admitted to me that she met an old boyfriend, and nothing physical happened between them. I said, that's okay, I can forgive that, but she insists on a divorce. She still wants a divorce. We have four children. There's no scriptural grounds for the divorce, and you know, I'm not like the perfect husband, but she just has, you know, lost, she doesn't love me anymore, and she feels that because I haven't loved her the way the scriptures say, so therefore she can get a divorce, whether or not I give her a bill of divorce. And the other issue is that she's lying to the children about, you know, she's saying she's going to visit another friend when she's going to visit and wants to go away for a few days with her boyfriend, who's supposedly Christian, and an old boyfriend that I knew, you know, 20 years ago, and they briefly dated before we met and got married.
Okay. So what's the question for us then?
Well, the question is, I mean, the marriage may be over because of things that have happened, but, you know, how do I deal with her lying to the children? I'm worried about like Ann said earlier, our marriage is a covenant. It's a contract with God. I'm worried about the sins of the father being visited to the children, third or fourth generations. I mean, how do I mitigate this or prevent this? Can't control her. I mean, she has people supporting her that are Christians, but, you know, they don't offer any scriptural support. It's just based on
emotion. We're going to try to give you some help here. You know, sometimes we're asking the wrong question at the wrong time. And we want to try to get you focused on the right things that will give you the most help when we come back. You know, for instance, if a house burned down, you wouldn't focus on how that crummy electrician wired it so poorly. You'd be focused on how do we rebuild our house and what do we do here. So we're going to try to do that right after this. And I'm so glad you're listening to us on New Life Live. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back. Okay, everybody. Glad you're with us. We're talking here with John. Common law wife, moved on, different guy, lying to the kids and all that. I'm going to go right to Sherry, get us started here. And Sherry, what do you think?
So first off, let me just say, I'm sorry about the heartache that you're feeling right now, and the hurt, the disillusionment around her seeing, you know, meeting an old boyfriend. I mean, that's heartbreaking. So I just want you to know I see that and feel that. I understand. I have been betrayed too. So I am a little confused. I guess I have one question for you. You had talked about your marriage being a covenant and a vow and all of that, but you also had on the call board up there, it says that it's a common law marriage, but you didn't mention that. Is there a reason you kept that out for us?
No. No, I was not trying to hide that. It's a Christian common law marriage. We're married by our pastor 19 years ago, marriage of holy matrimony. So
common law, you were married by a pastor. I'm just confused.
Yeah.
It's a marriage, right? You have a marriage certificate?
Yes. We have a holy matrimony certificate, yeah. We were married publicly. We had family and friends there.
But you have a legal marriage. Do you have a legal marriage? Like, is it recorded?
We have a Christian marriage. I mean, the state does not recognize it, but Adam and Eve didn't have a marriage license either. And a license, according to Black's Law Dictionary, is permission to do something that's illegal. So we didn't do anything illegal. We just got married.
Okay. No, I'm not. I'm just curious about that. I guess maybe what I'm picking up on is, you know how Steve mentioned that sometimes, you know, we're kind of in that damage control phase, trying to pick up the pieces after something happens, right? After something like this happens, and we kind of are looking at ourselves going, what went wrong? Is there any understanding of your what might have happened, maybe why she had left after four kids?
Well, there's a few reasons. I mean, she would tell you I'm not an ogre. I'm not the perfect husband. I did not give her maybe enough emotional support that she needed. She knows I would try. I would want to do that for her, but she doesn't think I can give it to her. She thinks that I tried and did my best. She's very concerned. She doesn't want to be stuck in a bad marriage. Her mom had a stroke last year and still is partially paralyzed. She does not want to be in a bad marriage.
Right, but did you find that in your marriage, a lot of times you would lean on explaining or trying to fix and describe things with words and really struggle to find your heart or her heart?
That's a good question. I don't, I've gotten better in that. I think she would say that.
Yeah, because I get a little sense of that from you. I get a little sense that one of the first places you go might mean to describe or defend or explain, and that can feel disconnecting.
I've taken responsibilities for my mistakes. Unfortunately, some mistakes were financial and kind of put us in a bind and made us struggle for a few years, and she got tired of it, and I can understand that.
Right, but do you hear what I'm talking about? I'm actually talking about your heart. I'm talking about the essence of communication and how we feel people, how we empathize with people, how we connect with people on a deeper level. I don't think you're alone in this, John, and I'm not trying to, you know, put you in a corner.
No, I definitely can improve in that area. I can definitely improve in that.
Here's a really important thing for you to hear. No matter what you did in this area, it doesn't justify what she did. I mean, there are a lot of people, their husband sleeps with 29,000 other women and they still don't divorce and they still don't go out with their old boyfriend again. We're not saying that. But if you want to have any hope for rescuing, restoring, repairing, then you have to be willing to humble down and be willing to say, honey, I see some things that kind of drove you away, and I'm just wondering if reality has set in yet in this new relationship. And you realize, you know, our kids are over here, you're not, and I'm here, I've made some big mistakes, and here are the four things I'm doing to become the man that you thought I was or wanted me to be. To me, that's got to be the focus, is what you're willing to do. Not just hang your head and feel bad about something or whatever, but to rise up and say, I want this to work for the sake of you, me, and especially our children. Chris, your thoughts on this, because
I really
do think we gotta look at ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's really important to see what we were a part of in contributing to the distance and rupture of the relationship. But I'm going to go a little bit different direction, because if she has gone in her heart as cold and dark towards you as you're explaining to, she might not come back to that. So
yeah,
your fear is how is this going to impact the kids? And so in the deceit that she's has in this, and I don't know what the age of your kids are, but in age appropriateness, what I think that you need, John, is a connection to reality, both the reality of what you're going through, the reality of what the kids are going through, and that you're not going to sugarcoat this for the sake of her. What you also want to do is prevent your future casting sort of this catastrophic, you know, the sins of the father will be visited to their children, to however many generations. That's just way too much pressure. You want to be able to take this step by step, moment by moment, with their kids, with your kids as they're experiencing it in their reality. But also, I want you to be able to talk real honestly with your wife. You may want to conceal what's going on, but I won't keep this secret.
I think that kind of approach is so much better than any other approach, which has either any kind of arrogance on your part or any kind of rollover, play dead. Look, you've got a chance. May not be much, but you've got a chance to see if there's anything here. And one of the things that I believe happens about 99.9% of the time when people get in an affair, it's all adrenaline, it's all intensity. And then the longer that affair goes, the less wonderful it becomes. And if while the power of the affair is lessening, if you're growing and becoming and have a different presence, you can see how that increases the chance of something good really starting to happen there.
I want to say this.
Ahead,
I appreciate your comment, Chris, because it's the reality of where he's at. I think what was going through my heart right now is, you know, I've been working with somebody female who's had an affair, and she's mm-hmm. been with her husband for a very long time. And you know, y'all know how I feel about betrayal. So it's not right what she's doing. And as I'm unpacking it, one of the things I was contrasting is, you know, this affair partner she has, she's caught up in this, what you just said, Steve, this passion about, he's telling me he wants me, he loves me, I'm beautiful. And I said, well, but what if your husband did that? What if mm-hmm. your husband, who's waiting mm-hmm. in the wings right now, because he knows you're in an affair, he wants you back. What if he said, I want you. I haven't been telling you how much I love you and how much you mean to me. And she looked at me and she said, he doesn't talk that way to me.
Mm.
Bam. Right? Yeah. So I think that's a little bit. So if you're out there and if you're one of those folks that is withholding your love, withholding your passion, withholding those words of affirmation, withholding this fight in your heart for the one that you're with, please don't let your marriage be vulnerable to some other Yahoo out there that is going to try to take your spouse away.
Well, and to that point, when we are emotionally stunted, it's going to put a very low ceiling on our relationships. Yeah. And so, John, regardless, we want you to get into the work of being able to connect to yourself emotionally and being able to connect to others. And this is especially important, not just in your marriage, but with your kids as well.
So I'm going to send you a copy of Every Man's Bible, because I think that's going to give you a path out, wisdom, not hyper-spiritualization, not under-spiritualized either, but wisdom here for your path. Every Man's Bible coming your way. I hope that that's going to be helpful. Let's go to Diane, Hartford, Connecticut, where she's calling from. Listens on Sirius XM, channel 131 every day, right there, 1 o'clock Eastern time. How are you? What's going on, Diane?
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, great. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. I'm trying to figure out how to stay in a marriage that I've been in for over 35 years, going on 35 years, where my husband in the past has had emotional, sometimes physical, well, mostly emotional affairs, and he's been addicted to pornography. He's just recently admitted that about 3 months ago that he just broke off another emotional affair, and I was going to leave the marriage. We went to our pastor, and I don't know if I can do this. I'm trying very hard, but today we just had another stupid argument about politics, if you can believe it, which I don't care about. And
hey, Diane. Diane, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
First of all, what did your pastor tell you to do?
Well, he told me to pray about, you know, whether I should stay, and then he asked, told us to, you know, he told me, you know, by all, you know, I could technically leave the marriage, but, you know, he left it up to me, and then he just asked me to pray about it, and I went back, and I said, you know, first he asked me to forgive him.
Well,
and,
hold on a second.
He said that's
hold on
more
a second.
Important with,
well,
yeah.
What did he tell your husband to do? What advice did he give him?
To just communicate with me and to just love me. And he did tell him.
Really?
My husband admitted that he told him that, you know, technically she's going to divorce you because
so
she's
he didn't
enough,
say to
so.
He didn't say to your husband you have destroyed your marriage, you've ripped out the heart of your wife, you need to get some amazingly effective help for the character defect within you that would lead you to continue. A guy that would sit in front of a pastor and yet continue to be unfaithful to his wife. He never said to your husband, you need to get help, you need to get it now, you need to stop this. But instead he says you need to love her. That is so sad to me, first of all. Secondly, when this happened the first time, Diane, what did you require of your husband when you found out the first time?
That he just break off the affair that he had.
Okay.
And
well, don't you regret that you didn't at that point have women around you that would say to you, listen, it's not just about breaking off the affair. That's like just telling an alcoholic, stop drinking. He's just going to be a miserable alcoholic. He's got to start a recovery program. And I wish you had had people around you connected to you, or they would have said, you must act now, because if you don't, this is just going to be one repeated betrayal after another. Now, why am I saying this to you now? Because there are other people listening, and they just found out that their husband had an emotional or physical or some kind of affair. You have to have a standard, and you have to be strong, and you have to be willing to say, I can't live like this. I won't live like this. Because, in fact, Jesus hated divorce so much, but he hated betrayal. He said, yeah, but if there's unfaithfulness, you can do it. Well, I don't know at this point that divorce is the right path, but I do know this. You've got to take a different path. You've got to get his attention. And just getting counseling from a pastor that tells you, well, you just need to love her more. That is putting a very superficial treatment on a deep wound. We'll talk about that after.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. You know, you can help us by going to your texting area and texting to 28950. You text this, NLM match, and every dollar you text right there, right now, is matched with another dollar. It's pretty exciting. It doubles everything that you do. Now we're talking with Diane, and
hey, Diane, I can so relate to where you're at, and I love Steve and his potency of what he just brought to all of us, because I think what happens, not only to you, but many, many, many of us, is we go to those folks that we typically go to get help, right? In this case, a pastor. And the pastor has kind of two words that he brought to you guys, love and forgive. Like the two pillars, he said, love and forgive. And I want to change those out for you. Because in saying love and forgive right now, he's colluding with the deception. He's colluding with the acting out. He may not know it, but he is. And so the two things I want to, new pillars I want to give you are safety and the truth. So safety is, girl, and this is the hardest part, is we got to open our eyes. We have to get out of denial ourselves, because I was in denial in my marriage to Connor. And these emotional affairs that he's bringing to you, now that I'm on the other side of all this and working with couples, what makes you think they're just emotional and they didn't go sexual? Because I think in partners, we want to believe their words. We want to believe that they're emotional affairs, and somehow it softens the blow. But I'm telling you, girl, the emotional affairs that he's been having and what little you know about them, I want you to already believe that many of them have become sexual. He's just not telling you. And that brings me to the second point, which is in my book, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal, I've got a chapter in there that's called To Tell the Truth. And there's something called a therapeutic full disclosure, which is what a relationship like yours needs in order to get into truth. It's a coming clean of what's been going on, not hiding it, not keeping it from you, and only giving you little portions of it that he thinks you're okay with. It's a full disclosure. And that's what happens at our weekends when people have to come and look at their sexual acting out and their sin, and they have to kind of look at it, and then they have to bring it out at some level.
Yeah.
Right? And not at some level, but it's in some setting with a couple of therapists. And Chris and I do this work in our office all the time.
Yeah.
You can't hold the lies back.
Absolutely. And Diane, to speak to Sherry's point, your first need is the need for safety. You need protection from his behavior. It's out of control. It's dangerous. And so so that's the first part. And that may mean you need to separate physically for a while so that you get safety, or emotionally for a while. And so I'm not talking about divorce. I'm talking about, again, safety, where you're – the truth of that is that then you get clarity on what he needs to do to repair and restore the marriage and what you need to do to heal.
Yeah. But here's a big question, Diane. Have you thought about why you haven't demanded – more of him? Why just him hearing a pastor say love her more and you just go with that? Why haven't you, I mean, you listen to the program, you're calling us, you know we have every man's back. Why haven't you demanded him do something other than just try harder? Why?
Well, when the first time happened, he saw a psychiatrist, and to be quite honest with you, because it was a lot more physical the first first affair. It was he says it wasn't an affair because it wasn't penetration, but it was sexual.
Oh, I'm not going to deny that. That's ridiculous.
So, Diane,
he's already minimizing. And the saddest part, and what I think Steve is trying to get to, your greatest vulnerability is you're believing him.
Yeah.
That's your greatest vulnerability. And in doing that, you've enabled this.
Let me just say this. I think it sounds like you still think that there might be some kind of happy ending here if he just has a little more time and tries a little harder, versus how do I help this man stop this and become the husband I wanted? Well, here's how you do it, Diane. You get into a codependency group that can give you some support, and then you say to him, New Life, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, every man's battle, go get help, stop what you're doing, become the man you actually want to be, but don't even know you can be. You've lost that.
So many of us, Steve, I think, look at our marriage in a situation like this, and we look at it like we look at our cars, and we go, oh, it's just leaking a little bit of oil. There's a drip over here. There's a drip over here. But you know what? You, me, and Chris hear this caller, and we love Diane, and we're fighting for her husband, and we're going, you need to take the car in and get a major engine overhaul. It's a whole change.
Well, let me, as we're going to the break, give this mandate. Love does not delight in deceit or evil. It rejoices with the truth. It always trusts, and it always protects. If you want love, go do the work.
We'll take a break and come right back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with two really wise, wonderful, great people. Chris Williams, he and I do Finding Freedom. If you've lost your freedom, we can help you find it. We have special glasses that we ought to issue. You find that freedom. It's not easy to find it, but you can find it. And, of course, Intimate Betrayal. What an amazing, amazing book by Sherry Keffer. You can get that. And if you're struggling, if you need that book, then the person, whoever qualified you to want that book, they need to be in Every Man's Battle. You can call about that. All right, let's. How about we go to Diane from Hartford, Connecticut.
We're just on with Diane.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry about that. I want to talk to Jamal. Fort Washington, Maryland, WAVA.
Hey,
Jamal, how are you?
How are you doing?
Good.
Great. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir.
Okay. How can we help you today?
I wanted to ask a question about pornography. I've been struggling since I was 12, and I was introduced to it at a church revival in Baltimore, but I wanted to to know how to get out of it because it's been so a part of my life. I'm 41 now, but I'm trying to move forward. I'm trying to get out of the hole. I've been through a big, deep hole in it. Now that I'm married, I'll be married 8 years, September 29th. I'm trying to get out of it because I want to be a better example to my sons. I have two sons, three and four.
What have you tried? What have you tried to do to get out of it?
I've tried read scriptures. I've tried praying. I'm not consistent like I'm supposed to be. Maybe not. Maybe probably twice a day praying or scriptures here and there.
Okay, but, now Jamal, Jamal.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just start this by being big. Just give you the answer that you asked for. Okay.
Uh huh.
Here it is. How much more time and trying harder and wasted effort and betrayal of your wife and your legacy with your family, how much more of that do you need before you do what every other person who struggles in this area has to do? Before you're able to say, I have an extreme limitation. I, in and of myself, by myself, cannot, have not, will not, under my own power, be able to fix this problem. Do you think you need to do what you're doing another year, or are you ready right now to admit, I can't do it, trying to be more spiritual, reading the Bible and praying on my own, no one knowing I have the problem?
I'm ready now because I don't have any other choice.
Good. You are right where recovery begins. So, Chris, what do you think? Once you get that place where you can say to God, I can't do this, I admit it, and God, I know you can. Now, what do I need to do?
Perfect. So, here's the two concepts that we need to get really clear on. Pornography and addiction thrives in secret isolation. It thrives in it. Even if you're trying to do spiritual things, it dies in the light of honest community. So the part that's missing in your recovery is the essential part, and that is honest community, what we call rigorous honesty, the ability to get in front of other guys who struggle with the same thing and say, here is the most honest version of my struggle. And you have a good clarity on it, Jamal. You know when you started. You know where it's at today. You know the consequences. And so all you need is that connection piece. And I say all you need as not as if that's an easy thing to do. It's really challenging. But once we walk through that doorway into a recovery community, given the tools to create the separation from the addiction and then start the repair in our own life, the relationship to ourselves, the relationship to our wives, our significant others, and God Himself, it just has this momentum to it that you can't experience on your own. So we have this thing called Every Man's Battle that is designed specifically for this. And and all of these support networks and all of these communities around the country that you're able to plug into to put this into the light of day where, like a bad mold, it can die. But if it stays in darkness, it will continue to grow.
So here's what you do. You hang on the line, and we'll tell you about Every Man's Battle. I'll send you the book, the new book, the revised edition, all the new brain science of Every Man's Battle. But the third thing is I'm going to challenge you to test your resolve. It's not just waiting for Every Man's Battle. It's not just getting the book and reading it. But today, right now, you find a male counselor that we find for you, and you say, I'm going to go. And you find a recovery group for guys that are addicted to sex, and you just become part of that online group. Right now it's easy. You can remain anonymous. You can do it. But if you're willing to do that, see, it's one thing to want something. It's another thing to be willing to do whatever it takes. And that's what you called with. You said, what do I do? Well, that's what you do. And it can change everything. And I'm really glad that you called. Let's go to Vicki from New Baltimore, Maryland. And she watches this right there on YouTube. Hi there, Vicki. How are you?
It's New Baltimore, Michigan.
I'm sorry. New Baltimore, Michigan.
Okay. It's a little town near Port Huron.
Little bitty tiny town. Okay.
My question is that I'm 63 years old. I'm a widow for 10 years. And my dad died the last, it's going to be 3 years now. And I've gone to grief share several times. And it seems like that the grieving over the loss of my dad was even harder than losing my husband. And I don't know how to kind of get over where I stop feeling like a kid and can be an adult again.
Yeah, well, let's start with Sherry on how we can help you. I'm so glad you called because it's such an honest thing, what you're saying there. And I think we can give you some help here.
You know, Vicki, thank you, and I'm sorry about the loss, both of your husband and your dad. And, you know, grief is so interesting because sometimes we can grieve over missing someone, like your dad, and then sometimes our grief is really more about what we missed, not necessarily missing them, but what we may have missed growing up. Mm-hmm. And so when you say feeling like a kid, was there a period of your life where you were kind of more distant from your dad, or your dad was busy, or you didn't really spend a lot of time with him? Or was it the opposite?
Well, I'm an adult child of an alcoholic.
Okay.
My dad was an alcoholic.
There you go.
My dad and my parents divorced when I was 19.
Okay, so...
And so there was a lot of... a lot of time where we weren't close.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I grew older, and especially after my husband died, I think my dad stepped up to try to make up for things that didn't happen when we were children. Mm. And he really, you know, paid a lot of attention, called me every week, how are you doing, kind of, you know, and just really helped me through a lot that loss.
Yeah, totally get that, because it's like grieving lost time. And we can, our minds want to keep our dads and moms alive when we've missed them and we haven't had connection with them. I'm praying this way, really, with my mom right now. I'm kind of saying, Lord, do not take her right now. Do not take her. And listen to me. I'm telling God what he needs to do. But it's because I'm trying to make up for lost time in a disconnect that was so much a part of my early life. And so I know when my mom passes, that time is going to stop. I won't have any more chances. I won't be able to have any more time to repair. So that's going to lead me into a deeper grief. And so I want to encourage you to continue in your work. And not that I'm trying to sugarcoat it, but what I want you to do is I want you to make a list. And on the right side of your paper, I want you to write, chronicle all the redemptive moments that your dad made later in life. I want you to think about him, the times he called you, the times, you know, he caught you by surprise, the times he told you something that he had never told you before. Put that on the right-hand column. And then on the left-hand side, put the things that you didn't get, right? That you still may need to grieve over. But sometimes when we look at the gratitude of what we did get, it actually helps us satisfy some of those aches in our heart that we missed that we were growing up because your dad changed, right? He started pursuing you. That's a big deal.
All right, hold on. When we come back, we'll talk about the two funeral solution.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And Vicki, I really love what Sherry said there. And I want to encourage you to think about this. I can so see how you would grieve the loss of this new father who really tried to come through and compensate for, you know, being the alcoholic while you're growing up. And I just want to challenge you that maybe there needs to be another funeral and grieving process over the father that he wasn't, the things that he didn't do back then. So you've got two things. Oh, man, do I ever need to grieve the loss of this guy that was calling me, giving me attention after all these years, but I still have to go back and let go of some of that emptiness or even resentment, bitterness, or questioning myself and my value because he wasn't there. To that end, I'm going to send you the Life Recovery Workbook on Grief, and I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible. Now, also, on my 5 o'clock Facebook program, I've gone through all of the 12 steps of grieving. And I've taken the 12 steps using this workbook, and so there's a video on every step there, and I think that would really help you. And I hope that helps you, and I'm so glad that you called. Let's talk to Larry Sonnenberg. He's in the studio. Larry, I want to talk about our need, and I think I'll have time for one final caller okay. after that. But what do we need, and what do we want people to do?
Well, we have a matching gift, and it's important that we match it. Otherwise, that money sits there and doesn't get used, and that would be horrible stewardship on our part. And so we're seeking you to make a gift. When you give $20, we'll take $20 from that pooled fund, and we actually get to use $40. So what, if you use 5, it's 10. If it's 50, it's 100, whatever you do. And that would be really important for us to clear that fund out so we use that money wisely. And I want to read a quick couple sentences here from a listener. I listened to you for years. Must say your show's played a major role in helping me gain new life, especially emotionally and mentally. Today, 8 years after hearing you for the first time, I'm so thankful for the tools, standards, and guidelines you provide for living a full life. If you can believe in what we do that causes people, to, you know, 8 years later, to still be grateful and thankful and they're living a full life, that's why we need you to give. Quickly, a thanks to those who provided that fund, those of you who are matching it, and our Club New Life people. You're our heroes through this COVID virus thing because your support has made this ministry stable in the process of going through it. So God bless you.
And just think, through all of this, the folks that are, you know, really hurt the most are just good, down-to-earth people that make up our Club New Life givers at $30 a month. And we need more of you to take the place of some others. Maybe they've lost their job and whatever. It's just so tragic what's happened. So if you have not been impacted, then you could please help us. We will honor that. It'll double. And so if you can step in at whatever level, please, please do. And you do that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Julie, Little Rock, Arkansas, listens on Facebook. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are y'all doing?
Good, don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to try to get your call in. What's going on? How could we help?
Okay, so about a year ago, I found out that my husband had betrayed me. He had met a woman on an online porn site. And then flew to a different country to meet her. And
what did you do when you found that out? What did you do?
Well, when I finally found out, I left.
Good for you.
Because he asked me to leave.
Oh, he asked you to leave.
It was very hard. He asked me to leave. I kind of said, what can we do here? I asked him to go to therapy. He refused anything that I said, could we work through this? He refused all of it. So I ended up having to leave. And it's been about a year now. I don't even think I've heard his voice in a year.
Okay.
So we're in the final stages of our divorce at this point. Our divorce was actually, he filed for divorce. And we're in the final stages when the pandemic hit. So we're in a holding pattern until the court opens back up. And we only have text conversations, and I've seen some changes in his text, which makes me think maybe he's more receptive now. And so I just have heard you guys talk so much about every man's battle, and as I was listening earlier, I thought, what can I do to get that information in front of him.
Yeah.
Without
okay.
pushing
here's,
him.
Here's what
because I'm afraid to push him away.
Well, don't be afraid to push him away. Don't be afraid of that.
Well,
because
I mean,
the way guys
away from me because we're.
Look, I just want to make this point. A lot of times guys don't come back to the woman because she's never stood up and become something of power and strength that he would want to come back to. So So don't be afraid of pushing him away. But I would say this, hey, I'm sensing maybe a shift in your thinking or feelings. And I just want you to know that if you were to ever want back into my life, there is a way. It would require you going to every man's battle, and it would require us going to a marriage intensive. And then you'd say this, I believe after those two things, we would have tremendous hope of having a marriage we never had before. I understand if I'm misreading this, but if there is a shift under those conditions, I'm willing. And if that pushes him away, then there probably wasn't much there anyway. Sherry, you're a woman. What do you think about what I'm saying there?
You know, I think it's honesty is the best policy, Julie. And truly, if he doesn't respond, then just keep walking. And you may walk anyway. Truly, this feels like a drive-by. It feels like your marriage was decimated instantly. Mm-hmm. By like you were in a car and there was a truck that semi that came barreling through the intersection.
Yeah,
and before you could even look
definitely.
To your right, it was decimated. So I think you have some grieving to do, my dear. And we're going to send you my book, Intimate Deception: Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal, because I want you to heal and heal well. And we can get stuck in denial and defensive hope, and we can be afraid to speak truth, and Steve just called you up to that. But we care about you. We're sorry about your pain.
And I would just say this, you know, I've been where you are. I've been betrayed. It's horrible. It's painful. But, you know, there is hope, and there is healing. And the worst thing is if we try to hang on to something that isn't there for whatever reason, and that's what we don't want for you. So let me send you Sherry's book. I think you're going to love it. It's going to give you great insight. We have a workshop to go to also. It's called Restore, and it could really help you. If you are hearing right now, if you're hearing this and you're thinking, wow, I'm so much like Julie, I'm in the same place, then maybe you need to say to the person, if there is a shift, if you're waking up, if there is any hope, here's the path. You go to every man's battle. And then we go to the marriage intensive, and let's see where we are. We have literally watched people that hated each other develop a marriage they never dreamed was possible. The worst thing that ever happened to their marriage becomes the best thing because it gets them to a place of openness and honesty and authenticity. You can find out about that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us if you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You got some chances now, maybe some time to read some Bible stories to your kids. Kirby, he's right back there. He's wearing that gold medal he won. It's Kirby McCook and the Jesus Chronicles. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and get that. See you next time. Thanks, Chris and Sherry.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.